Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. As I continue going through this book, I pray the Lord continue to bless this word, this blessed book of wisdom that has been pleased to allow us to look at. I'd like to look at verse in chapter 28, Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. There is a commandment that has been given from heaven unto all men. And it's a commandment that time and time again, the Holy Scriptures set forth this imperative truth when it comes to a man having any hope before God. Now listen, I pray that God bless this message to our heart, because what this verse of Scripture is saying right here, verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. We have a word from God that we need to hear the word of the Lord. If we're speaking to the people of God, I'm going to show you three verses of Scripture that leaves no one without excuse for hearing the Word of God. If we're speaking to the people of God, Jeremiah 2:4 says, "Hear ye the Word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel." So I know this, it is needful, it is imperative, it's imperative that God's people hear the word of the Lord. Well, what if we're speaking to those that don't know God? Listen to Isaiah 1:10. "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah." So the Scripture bears out that God's people are commanded to hear the word of the Lord. People that don't know God are commanded to hear the word of the Lord. When it comes to those who are commanded to hear the word of the Lord, no one is exempt. Jeremiah 22:29. I don't know if I read this verse of Scripture the other day, and I thought, I don't remember. I know I've read it, because having read through, we'll read each evening and we'll read through the Scriptures. I know I've read it, but it hit me. This Jeremiah 22:29. "O earth, earth, earth." Three times it said earth. "Hear the word of the Lord." There is an eternal blessing that is promised to those who, by the grace of God, chosen of God, that God has been pleased to show mercy, there's an eternal blessing that has been given to those that hear the word of the Lord. Here's the eternal blessing: faith in Christ. And when I say faith in Christ, that means faith in Christ and not in ourselves. Not in what we do. Faith in Him. "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That's Romans 10:17. You've heard that. Faith cometh one way. One way. Faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. It comes by hearing the only message that the Spirit of God, you've heard me say this so many times, there's one message. There's one message that God has been pleased to bless. It's the message of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hearing His Word. My mind just came to that thief on the cross. How much did he know about 5 points of Calvinism? I've brought this up before. How much did he know? Probably didn't know much at all. But I tell you what, he had heard Christ speak from that cross. And he knew that he was a sinner. He told the other one, he said, wait a minute. We deserve what we're getting. We deserve to be right here. This man's done nothing. He saw Christ Jesus as the Lord. He saw Christ Jesus as the King. Lord, when you enter into your kingdom, you remember me. How much did he know? He knew that his hope was in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. You know, this truth of, turn to Ezekiel 37. This truth about hearing the Word of the Lord. About sinners. Dead sinners. Spiritually dead. Oh, the Lord is just said, hear the Word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. You say, well, people that are dead in trespasses and sins, they can't hear. Well, listen to what the Lord told Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 5. The hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of dry bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Can dry bones live? If God blesses the word to them, they will. I'm preaching to people who are in themselves dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. David set forth in Psalm 28:1, he set forth the horror of not being able to hear the word of the Lord. He said in Psalm 28:1, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Listen to me. If we don't hear the Lord, if God doesn't give us ears to hear, if the Lord doesn't give us a heart to perceive, a heart that loves, a heart that cries, a heart that hears, perish. Hear the word of the Lord. And while there's a great blessing that's promised to all those who by the grace of God are made to truly hear the word of the Lord. I'm not talking about with this. We need to hear like this. But God's got to give us a hearing ear. A seeing eye. A hearing ear. Lord, don't be silent to me. Lord, if you're silent to me, I'm going to go down to the pit. I'll be like those that go down to the pit. And while there's a great blessing that's promised to those that hear the word of the Lord, hear it heartily, hear it joyfully, made to hear with that hearing ear, there's a promise of eternal condemnation given to those who refuse to hear the word of the Lord. Well, I just read it. Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, the word, the precept, the statute, even his prayer his prayer shall be an abomination. I'm going to tell you what an abomination is in just a second. Those that turns off or rebels or revolts against hearing the law, that which the Lord has declared concerning himself. When we say the law, I know we think of the Ten Commandments. Everything God says, that's his word, that's his law, that's his statute, that's his precept. When God speaks in his scriptures concerning himself, sovereign, rules in the army of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth, he sovereignly created. God made this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you know what? That settles it. Well, yeah, but what about Darwin? In the beginning, God created. God's true and everybody else is a liar. He's sovereign in providence. He's sovereign in salvation. I believe that everybody has got a chance. Everybody wants to save. He wants you. God rules. Show me your glory. I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Man that says, I won't hear that. He turns his ear from hearing that. Lord said, even that man's prayer is an abomination. Abomination. What does that mean, abomination? Well, here's what it means. Here's the definition. A disgusting thing. An idol. A sacrifice of the wicked. That's an abomination. That's it. He that sets up that which is in his mind, he that won't hear the word of the Lord, won't hear what God has to say. What he's done is he's set up something in his heart as to how things are. And he regards what he thinks as being more important, better than what God has to say. Now, let's just read a couple of passages of Scripture that sets forth how men really are. I'm not going to tell you anything you hadn't heard before. Psalm 14, 2 and 3. Psalm 14, 2 and 3. Now here's the way that men really are. This is the way men are. Psalm 14, 2 and 3. I pray God give us heart to hear this. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy or stinking. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, when someone says there's a little good in all men, now who's right? Who's right? Look at Isaiah. Isaiah 1. Now here's the way we are. Isaiah 1, verse 5 and 6. If you want to know how we really are, and you know a believer will hear this, and he says, Lord, you're right. You are right. Isaiah 1, 5 and 6. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint from the sole of the foot, even into the head. There's no soundness in it. There's nothing stable about it. There's nothing stable about a man. There's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They're oozing pussy sores. If you want me to just be real graphic with what that is. That's what it is. You want to know how it, all of our righteousness is filthy rags. You know what it is. Minstrel's claws. You say, well, I just think that's just a little bit too graphic. No, what it is we just now understand what it's saying. We don't glaze it over. They've not been closed up, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. How is a man? By nature, he's just an oozing mass of putrefying rebellion against God. There's nothing good about him. Nothing. Well, now there's two passages of Scripture that state how men really are as they're born in Adam. Now I want you to turn to Luke 18, verse 9 to 12. Luke 18. Now let me show you what happens when a man hears the word of the Lord and he turns his ear from it. He won't hear it. Luke 18. The Lord gave a parable. It was about a Pharisee and a publican. I just want to read you that part about the Pharisee. Luke 18, verse 9 to 12. It said, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. And the Pharisee, now let me just stop right here. This Pharisee, you know, the Lord told the Pharisees, he said, you search the Scriptures. You know them. You know them. You think this Pharisee had read Psalm 14? You think he had ever read Isaiah 1, verse 5 and 6? You think he'd ever read that? Yeah, he did. He knew the Scriptures. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You think he truly believed that from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was nothing but putrefying sores? You think God looked down on him and said, there's none that doeth good? You think he believed that? What was he doing? Turned his ear. Was this man right here, does the Scripture say that this man, in that parable, that this man went into the temple to pray? Yeah. Was he praying? What does Proverbs 28:9 say about those that turn their ear? Even their prayer is a disgusting thing. Disgusting. But though every man born in Adam certainly possesses a spiritually dead heart, do you know that God still speaks? And men truly hear. Now let me show you something. How does God speak? He that turneth away. People say, well, the preacher told me that, you know, without a hearing ear. No, you can't hear without a hearing ear of the grace of God. But I'm telling you that all men hear. They all know. They all know. How God speaks, I'm going to just tell you three quick ways. Number one, he speaks in the conscience. I want you to turn to Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. Romans 2, verse 12 to 15. Romans 2, 12 to 15. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. Paul's going to explain what he's saying right here, just a second. And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For, or because, when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, also bearing witness. Bearing witness from who? From God. Their conscience. And their thoughts, the mean of that between themselves, the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. What did he just say? Paul said that God gave the written law, the law of Moses. He gave the written law to the Jews. That was God's written word to declare unto them God's mind, God's heart concerning right, wrong. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, thou shalt respect your parents. You shall not steal. It was a written law. But it wasn't given as a means of salvation. God never meant the law to be man's means of salvation. But what the law was is God's gracious giving of a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. By the deeds of the law shall no man, no flesh be justified in his sight. Listen, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Somebody said, well, what's the purpose of the law? To tell us that we're unable. To tell us that we're sinners. So the law was given. So the Jews had the law. Well, what about the Gentiles? What did Paul just say in Romans chapter 2? What about Gentiles? They didn't have the written law of Moses, but Paul said the work of the law. The work of the law. That's what he said in verse, go back and look, Romans 2:15, which showed the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, also bearing witness their thoughts, the mean, while either accusing or else excusing one another. What they were doing is there's a conscience in every man. They got a conscience. To do what? To know right and wrong. I'll guarantee you, you go somewhere in the darkest part of nowhere. And I'm telling you, wherever they live, they're in a tribe or something like that, they know whether or not if you stole something from them, they know whether or not that was bad. And they know whether or not that needs to be reconciled. They know that. There's a conscience in every man. So men have in their conscience, they have a knowledge of right and wrong. The Jews had the written law of God. The Gentiles didn't. But the work of the law was there. So men are without excuse. Scripture says, secondly, God speaks in creation. In the garden, because of sin, man fell. And he died spiritually. He lost the presence of God. He lost his innocence. He lost the love of God. And God drove him out. Even after God drove him out, he died spiritually. But there was still a conscience. There was still a witness. When Paul and Barnabas turn to Acts 14. Acts 14, I'm going to read verses 14 to 17. When Paul and Barnabas, they went to a city called Lystra. And there, while they were in Lystra, there was a man that was a cripple. And this first part of chapter 14, I'm gonna just start reading a few verses in verse 14 here, Acts 14:14. And the Lord was pleased to heal this cripple through the means of Paul and Barnabas. And when the Lord healed him through these men, showing that these men truly were God, these miracles and signs and wonders that the Lord had promised that they would have as being witnesses of him. The people there in Lystra, they thought, the gods have come down. That's Jupiter and Mercury. That's what they said. The priest, verse 13 says, and the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Now look here. Whenever, when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out, and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. But look at this next verse. Nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness? What are you saying? Well, Paul said it this way in Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. What are you saying? God speaks. He speaks in nature. You look outside and you see that sun? You see that sunshine out there? Where do you think that came from? God made it. How about those trees? How about the grass out there? What is that? That's a witness. God's speaking. And the scripture says they're understood. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, what does that mean? They had a perception. There was a knowledge. You have the evidence of His power. You can see that the earth is here. You can see that. But because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So all men born into this world, the scripture declares that they have that hearing. They hear. They hear it in their conscience. They see it. They see it in creation. But because man being dead, what does he do? Turns his ear. Turns his ear. He will not hear. Well, thirdly, God is speaking through His Son. Hebrews 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to just read verses 1 to 3. Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and holding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins. We ought to, at least in our heart, underline that. When He had by Himself purged our sins. You mean that means He did everything by Himself when He by Himself. Don't I have to add my faith to it? When He by Himself. Faith is God's gift to His people to tell them that He by Himself purged our sins. Our faith adds nothing to our salvation. We're saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. We must believe, and God's going to give us faith to believe. But don't look at yourself as though I added something. When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. God speaks in conscience, God speaks in creation, and God speaks through this word right here. There's a lot of things that we ought to know from the conscience and from nature. But there's one thing alone that we can know concerning God's glory, concerning His Son, through which the Spirit of God blesses it, and it's through hearing this word right here. I'm telling you, we have no idea how blessed we are to be able to sit under the sound of the gospel. There's people all over this world, Fred, that's sitting right now in places like this, and everybody that's not preaching the gospel is lying to them. They're lying to them. And the Spirit of God doesn't bless it. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God of salvation. When Almighty God was pleased to send the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. I tell you what he did. I'll try to make this quick. I'm going to wrap this up. Number one, Christ preached. You know, we turn to John 17. John 17, our high priestly prayer of our Lord. You know, people talk about, well, I don't know about all you people that preach that election stuff. Well, I can tell you this one thing. Our Lord preached election. He was a preacher. And he preached a lesson. Listen to this. John 17, verse 6 to 9. Here's the Lord praying. He said, I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest to me out of the world. Now, let me ask you something. Now, how would you interpret that category of people? Those that you've given me out of the world. Would you say that that's God's choice? Would you say that God selected? Would you say that those that you gave me out of the world, thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they've kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Now you tell somebody, the Lord doesn't pray for everybody. He's not the great high priest for everybody. I say, well, I know, wait a minute. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to know something that'll set you free, hear the word of the Lord. Now that'll set you free. That way when somebody comes up to you and says, well, I tell you what I think, you say, well, I tell you what. I want to know what God thinks. That will set you free. Christ preached election. And he told his disciples that they were his elect. Look at John 15, 16. John 15, 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Christ preached election. Christ preached particular redemption. What does that mean, particular redemption? That means that Christ died only for the elect. That's what it means. John chapter 10, John 10, 14, 15. John 10, 14, 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I am known of mine. Here he is. He's still talking about election. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. For the sheep. For the sheep. Did Christ preach particular redemption? That he only died for the sheep? Yes, he did. Did he preach irresistible grace? John 6, 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Did he preach election? Did he preach irresistible grace? Particular redemption? Did he preach the truth of his sovereign power in the providential order of this world? Look, I want you to turn to Mark 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 37. Mark 4, 37. Mark 4, 37. There arose a great storm in the wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You think he preached that he ruled in heaven and earth? preach the truth of man's total inability. Total inability. John chapter 6, 63. John 6. I really am almost done here. John 6, 63. Listen to what he said. John 6, 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life, but there are some of you which believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. I had someone ask you, I told you this before, I had somebody ask me one time, what if somebody really, 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 really wanted to come to Christ, but they were not one of the elect? I said, they won't. Well, what if they did? They won't. How do you know? Because the Scripture says, no man seeketh after God. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. So you try to make something, well, what if they really want to? Don't put man any higher than God says he is. This truth set forth in Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, he that won't hear what God has to say, what the Lord has revealed in his word, what he preached, he that turns away even his prayer shall be wickedness. Wickedness. Whenever those five foolish virgins, there was 10 virgins. The Lord gave a parable. And here it is, it's a picture. These 10 virgins, it's a picture of the church, how the church is made up. There was five wise and five foolish. The Lord said, you know, there's always wheat with the tares. Tares are always there. There were five wise and five foolish. And the bridegroom came. And the five foolish didn't have any oil. They had no grace in their lamp, in their profession, is what he's talking about. There was no graciousness in their profession. And he tried to go to the wise and said, give us some oil. And they said, no, we don't have enough for you. I got just enough for myself. So while the five foolish were gone, the bridegroom came, the door was shut, and what happened when they came back? Open the door. What was that? It's a picture of now praying. He that won't hear the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord, even his prayer. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Many will say unto me, he said, this is in Matthew 7, in that day, Lord, now here they are praying. We prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. Here they are praying now. Now they're at the judgment. Done many mighty works in your name. Then will I say unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, wickedness. I never knew you. Listen to me. Hear the word of the Lord. Somebody says, well, you're going to have the Lord give you an ear before you can. I can't do anything. That's why I read Ezekiel 37. Can these bones live? Lord, you know. You preach to them. And you tell them, hear the word. That's all I'm doing. I'm going to tell you right now. Hear the word of the Lord. I pray God bless it to us for His glory and our good. Amen. Amen. Let's take a break.